In the BBC newsletter, they expressed, showed a picture of the full moon and expressed that this is a very special Purnima. Besides Gaura Purnima, it's a special Gaura Purnima in that the orbit of the moon is not exactly circular, it's elliptical. And there are times when there are full moons when it's at different positions, most far away, coming closer, closer, and its nearest position. So this is in the nearest position. Again, which it is apogee and perigee. So this evening, we'll see a very nice golden full moon. It'll practically, you can reach out and touch it. And it's on the full moon of Phalgun, some 520-something years ago, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. One of the very important verses of Bhagavad Gita that I'd like to begin their discussion this morning with is Janma karma chine divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chakva deham purnarjana naiti mameti sorjana. Where Krishna says that if one can understand the transcendental nature of my janma and his wonderful pastimes, then that's sufficient in and of itself to go back to Godhead and not just end the cycle of birth and death, purnar janma na vidyate, but return to the eternal abode of the Supreme Lord and engage in loving pastime with Him. And while this is true about Krishna, it's also true about the avatar forms of the Lord that descend in this world. Our Vaishnav scripture makes this distinction between avatar and avatari. Avatar means one who descends, and avatari means the source of those who descend. Very important distinction, perhaps a subtle distinction, but nonetheless, very important distinction, because the whole of Vedic wisdom is searching out that from which everything else comes. And so even the avatar forms of the Lord that appear in this world, they have some source of emanation. Their divinity is non-different. Their divinity is non-different. Meaning, like Srila Prabhupada's example from Brahma Samhita, when you take a candle or a lamp, dipa, and from that lamp you light another lamp, so comparing the one lamp and the other lamp, they have equal luminosity, equal light coming from both. So they're equal. And so their status is equal, but at the same time, one is the source of emanation of the other. Just like on Diwali Day, or Damodar Leela, the whole month where we're singing Damodar Astakam. I don't know if you've been in Vrindavan where they perform lighting of the candle, but they have, or lighting of the lamps, but they have from the altar a ghee lamp that is always burning. They just refill the ghee and keep the lamp burning, and they bring that lamp out, and then they light many other lamps on a, like a nice tree of lamps, and then many pujaris are lighting little clay container lamps for all the devotees to offer to Damodar and the deities. So the room is finally filled with lamps, and it's very beautiful. However, one lamp is the source of all the other lamps. So while it's true to say the forms of the Lord similarly are equal, we can also say, according to scripture, that one of them is the source of all the others. And that's what this term avatari means. And Krishna is that avatari. Eti chang sakala pung sang Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. A very important verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is stated after listing various incarnations of the Lord, and Krishna is in that list of incarnations of the Lord. This verse says, amongst all of them, one of them is the source of all the others. And Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, is the source of all the others. So that's avatari, one who is the source of all the other, whether it's forms of the Lord where there's plenary expansion, plenary meaning like one candle and another candle, equal of potency, or expansions of his viminangsa, the fragmental part and parcel living entities, or his internal energy, or his external energy, or anything that exists, there's one that's the source of everything. That's avatari, and that's Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, just as he says in Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. It's very clear, very direct, very explicit. Aham sarvasya prabhava. Krishna, it's first person singular, aham, Krishna, sarvasya, that's everything. Our acharyas say that means matter and spirit, both. Prabhava, prabhava, he's the source of emanation of everything. And then he says the same thing in reverse order. Everything comes from me. I'm the source of everything. Everything comes from me. It's like checkmate. You can't, there's no wiggle room. You can't like, well, maybe something else. No. Krishna is the source of everything. Everything comes from Krishna. He's avatari. And we also have this understanding, the followers of Lord Chaitanya, we're honoring the Janma Divyam, the transcendental appearance of Lord Chaitanya today, Gaura Purnima. And we honor Lord Chaitanya as equal with Krishna, not even like an expansion of Krishna, like an avatari and an avatar. Lord Chaitanya is not an avatar, but he's avatari. Now we'll spend a little time discussing that one. There's a verse that was written by the secretary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was an intimate associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and because of his intimacy, he understood who is Lord Chaitanya. It's just like you have a close dealing with somebody over an extended period of time, and you know things about that somebody that other people just don't know because of that intimate relation. And Surup Damodar had such a relation, but not only one of closeness, but Surup Damodar was fully realized soul. So the fully realized soul associating with Lord Chaitanya was disclosing the truths about Lord Chaitanya in various codes that were later rendered by Krishnadas Kaviraj, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'm going to describe that a little bit, where Srup Damodar writes, Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritir Ladini Shakti Asmat Ekat Manav Api Bhuvi Pura Deha Beda Gatautau. I'll go through that slowly. He's saying that Radha Krishna is actually one entity manifesting in two forms. One entity manifesting in two forms simultaneously, and that is the energetic and the energy, just like the sun and the sunshine. One is the energetic, the other is the energy. And the energy is not separate from the energetic. You don't find shine somewhere without the sun. And you don't find the sun without the shine. The energy and the energetic are inseparable. Ekat manav api bhuvi. They're one entity. The energy, Radha, the Ladini Shakti of the energetic, Shaktiman, the possessor of that energy. And for purposes of pastime, of lila, they're manifest as two. Although one entity, ekat atmanav, api, api means although. Although one, they're eternally, it's not like once upon a time, it's not one of those. Once upon a time, there was one entity and Krishna looked at his watch and said, I think it's time for two entities. Boom, and there's two entities. It's eternally like that. Radha and Krishna eternally manifest, although one entity. One entity, the term in Sanskrit is tattva, or truth, or existence. So one existence, one entity, manifests in two forms. There they are, Radha Govinda. And when we think of Radha Krishna or Radha Govinda, or see their forms, we see two forms, but we, Sarup Damodar is explaining, he's educating us, that one entity, and of those two forms, one is the potency, the pleasure potency, the internal pleasure potency. Now we don't have such a thing. We're not Krishna. So if we're moving along the path of life and we're feeling lonely, so we would like a companion. So, you know, you need something outside of yourself to fulfill that hankering for companionship. So there's two entities with two different forms. That's what we normally experience, conventionally experience. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna desires to enjoy, and he manifests that pleasure potency in the form of Radha, and he engages in relationships, in exchanges of love, with his own pleasure potency. Pause for let that sink in. It's not something outside of himself. It's Krishna's enjoying with his own potency. Manifest, according to this verse of Srup Damodar, manifest is in two forms. Then there's a very wonderful description, also found in Chaitanya Charitamrita, of how this one entity in two forms becomes one entity in one form. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's not an expansion of Krishna. He is Krishna as one entity. That's Radha and Krishna in one form. Because the description of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami goes like this. When Krishna appeared in Vrindavan and later went to Mathura, and after some time also performed pastimes in Dwaraka, And after some pastimes in Dwaraka, he gave his teaching of Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the Kurukshetra battlefield. The conclusion of that instruction of Krishna was, surrender unto me. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam. Surrender unto me. And he understood it's the right instruction, but not so many people understand how to surrender to Krishna. So if I show by my example how to surrender unto Krishna, then people will understand how to surrender to Krishna. So one of the reasons for, just after Krishna appeared in his Raja Leela, the very next Kali Yuga, immediately following that, Dwarapa Yuga, that 7th Manu, 28th millennium of the 7th Manu, 28th, it's very, very mathematically specific. The 7th Manu is out of 14, so it's somewhere, it's very close to the middle. And in each Manu, there's 71 Yuga cycles. So the 28th of those Yuga cycles in the 7th Manu is when Krishna appears in his Raja Leela. But people don't understand Raja Leela very well. They don't understand God very well. They don't understand the form of God. What to speak of his pastimes? What to speak of the intimate exchanges that he exhibits in Vrindavan? Say it the other way. Many people misunderstand Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna. So Krishna was thinking that if it's janma karma chame divyam, how are they going to understand? They can understand by devotion, and I can show them by devotion. Of course, Krishna could have had somebody else show by devotion. He could have empowered another entity to do that, show by devotion. Here's how you surrender to Krishna. So there was an internal reason for Krishna appearing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very beautifully described. I'm only going to summarize the essence, but the verses span many, many, many verses. Very beautiful description. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami goes inside the heart. He's very qualified, Vaishnava. He goes inside the heart of Krishna and shares with us Krishna's heart, his inner thoughts, his inner contemplations. Very confidential. There are such writings right in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna discloses, this is how I feel. Very confidential. Understanding the feelings of the Supreme. I mean, understanding the feelings of another person. That's very confidential. What to speak of understanding a perfected soul, that's there are some places of in Srimad Bhagavatam where Narada is sharing what he's feeling and contemplating. For example, when Nala Kuvera and Manigriva insult him, what does he feel? And what are his contemplations? It's very, very confidential. What to speak of the confidential thoughts of the Supreme Personality, Godhead. So Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami discloses. Krishna was contemplating, how much love for me does Radharani have? I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is nothing that I cannot do because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the happiness that Radha has for me, in her love for me, is so super excellent that it attracts me, the love that she has for me. And so much it attracts me that I would like to have the experience of that love for me that she has for me. And I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should be able to do anything. But I can't. I can't because Radha is the subject and I am the object of that love, and the subject The love of the subject, the feelings, the happiness of the subject cannot be understood by the object. But if I were to become the subject, then I could experience the love that Radha has for me. So it's a night, very beautiful. Something that the Lord can't do, and then He does it. There's one of these stump the Swami questions that's out there. If God is so perfect and powerful, can He create an object so heavy that He can't lift it? It's a trick question, because if you say He can't do it, then He's not God. Something He can't do. And if you say He can do it, then there's something He can't do. He can't lift it. So Prabhupada was asked that question. And his answer immediately was, yes. Krishna can create something so heavy that He can't lift it, and then He can lift it. So similarly, Krishna was experiencing the inability to know from His own direct experience the happiness of Radha and her love for Him. The qualities in Him that she sees, and the love, the happiness, and His qualities as she perceives it. And so, Krishna appeared as His own devotee in the complexion or duty, His luster of Radha, and the bhava of Radha. Radha bhava duty suvalitam. Naomi Krishna Swarupam. Krishna Swarup. It's Krishna Himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna Himself. In order to fulfill this desire to experience the love that Radha feels for Him, the happiness that she knows in that love for Him, the qualities in Him, because qualities is very important in rasa, that qualities serve as udipans, or the Sanskrit term means stimulations for ecstatic love. Just like an example, so many examples, but from Nectar Devotion. Sometimes Radha sees a dark cloud. The darkness of the cloud reminds her of Krishna, and she experiences ecstatic love seeing a cloud, because the color of the cloud or color of Krishna is like the color of a monsoon cloud. And that stimulates her ecstatic love for Krishna. So the qualities of Krishna are very important. They are stimulations for ecstatic love. The eyes of Krishna, the flute of Krishna, etc. Everything about Krishna. The peacock feather of Krishna, His gait, His walking, His smile, His everything about Him, His beautiful curly hair, His way He wears His dhoti, everything. Everything is a stimulation of ecstatic love for those who are in the category of lovers of Krishna. The qualities of Krishna stimulate their ecstatic love. So what are those qualities in me that she sees? How does she see those qualities in me? He wanted to experience that. And so he did. First he couldn't, and then he could. And how he could was he appeared as Naomi Krishna Swarupam. He is actually Krishna Himself, but taking the role of His own devotee, as Radha is devoted to Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became an ardent devotee of Krishna in the mood of Radha. So once again, this is avatari. This isn't one of the many avatars. This is the form of the Lord who manifests ecstatic love for Krishna, although He's Krishna Himself. Chaitanyakyam prakatam adhuna tadvayam chaikyamaptam. So that verse is describing that these two identities now have come in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And I'm offering my obeisances unto him. And why? He's Radha and Krishna combined in one form, in the luster and the bhava of Radha, although he's Krishna himself. Yesterday evening, there was a little discussion about, for many people, that's a difficult understanding to swallow, to accept. Because, well, Krishna's Krishna, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay, sannyasi, okay, great devotee, okay, ecstatic love for Krishna, okay. But Krishna himself? That's, for some people, that's difficult. One of the persons for whom that was difficult was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And rather than narrate again all of that description from yesterday evening, through the association of one who was a very dear devotee of Lord Chaitanya, just happened to be his brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, by the mercy of Gopinathacharya, Lord Chaitanya gave his mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a realization. It was like Lord Chaitanya explained to him the Vedanta Sutra in a way that this super scholar, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, had never heard before. Because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, by the ascending process, by speculation, had some this means that kind of interpretation of the sutras, of Vedanta Sutra. But Lord Chaitanya gave a direct meaning, not this means that, but this means this. The Supreme Lord is disclosing his identity as the source of everything. And in his original position, Anandamayo Vyasat, he is Ananda. And to have Ananda, there's two, Raso Vai Saha. To have Rasa, this is one of the aphorisms coming from the Vedanta Sutra, or from the Shruti Mantras. Raso Vai Saha. Saha is a pronoun indicating that, the absolute truth. The absolute truth is rasa. And you don't have rasa without two. There's an exchange. Without two, you don't have love. Even like somebody that's imagining love, it's another. Even a narcissist, there's the individual and their sense of who they are. You just have this split condition of consciousness. Rasa means there's the ashraya and the vishaya, the abode of love and the object of love. And the nature of that love is rasa, the kind of exchange between the two. So the absolute truth, who is the source of everything, he is rasa, and we experience, based upon our relationship with him, our rasa, our unique individual rasa, our particular loving mood. But he's the source of all rasa. He is rasa. And we're bumping into him and experiencing something. Rasa. Our individual little jiva soul relationship of love with the Supreme Lord. There's a nice verse in Sri Brahma Samhita. It's a verse that has the longest purport in the whole of Sri Brahma Samhita. It's 12 pages long to explain this one verse. It's an important verse. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabirya Eva Nijaru Pataya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasat Yakilat Mabuto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Pajami. Partly it's so long because there Jiva Goswami and following him Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are explaining the conjugal affair of Radha and Krishna. Just as this explanation I gave, that Radha and Krishna are one entity. It's very deep. It's not easy to understand because it's so deep. And we're not deep. We're a little obtuse, a little dull. So we think that are deep. We're like, what's that? So he very carefully explains it. In the Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. The Ananda Chinmaya Rasa is Krishna's internal potency. Just like something that's a little bit easier, it's not like child's play to understand. But when Krishna expanded himself as calves and cowherd boys in the Brahma Vimohan Lila, Lord Brahma wanted to test what's the extent of Krishna's mystic power. And so he kidnapped or stole the calves. And Krishna went to look for the calves, said to the cowherd boys, you can finish your lunch, I'll go find the calves, you just stay here. So he went to look for the calves. He's omniscient, he knew what was going on. And Brahma came back and he kidnapped the cowherd boys, put them in the cave. So Brahma wanted to see what Krishna is going to do now. So when he went back to the place where they were having their lunch, and there they were, all the calves and all the cowherd boys. They went back to the cave, and they're in the cave. And then he went back and he saw not just the cowherd boys and the calves, but he saw four-armed Narayan forms for each and every one of the calves and cowherd boys. Now, how did Krishna do that? By his Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. He just expanded himself. And so they weren't just like, they were Krishna himself. Looking like however he wanted them to look like. In this case, they looked exactly like the calves and the cowherd boys. So much so that when the mothers saw their sons, think of this, their mothers saw their sons, they didn't see the difference between their sons and Krishna, who was appearing like their sons. Not even like identical twins. They were identical. For 1 year, this went on. And their love for their sons became like their love for Krishna. Because they had so much love for Krishna, they desired to have a son like Krishna, so Krishna fulfilled their desire. He became their son. You can't have a son like Krishna. You have to have Krishna as your son. So he became their son. And their affection for their son became like their affection for Krishna. They didn't know what was going on. But Krishna knew what was going on. He was fulfilling their desire. So Ananda Chinmaya Rasa is how Krishna accomplishes things like expanding as forms of calves and cowherd boys, or forms of Narayan, or Srimati Radharani. She is his Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. She is his Ladini Shakti. And in turn, Radharani can expand herself. And she does. Unlimited gopis who are nothing other than the expansions of Srimati Radharani. And this Jiva Goswami, in his explanation of the Rasa Lila, Krishna is enjoying with his own potency, and the gopis are his own potency. They're expansions of Radha. So Krishna is not doing... If we were to do something like that, that would be irreligious or sinful. For Krishna to do like this, he's enjoying his own potency. I'll just tell a little story. Rabindra Swarup Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, and has a PhD in philosophy of religion, I think. He's either philosophy, anyway, something, from the University of Pennsylvania, or university in Philadelphia, Temple University or University of Pennsylvania. So one time Prabhupada was visiting, and Rabindra was still enrolled in his PhD program, so he thought, Prabhupada likes to meet scholars and, you know, help them understand Krishna. So he thought he'd make an arrangement to have Prabhupada meet with his PhD professor. And Rabindra was horrified, because as soon as the professor and Prabhupada sat down, he immediately insulted Prabhupada. I mean, not just insulted Prabhupada, he insulted Krishna. Both. Like, first thing out of his mouth. Because he was a scholar, he knew, he thought he knew, something about Krishna. So he said, how can you worship somebody who is a debauchee, goes around with other men's wives? How can you worship somebody like that? Immediately, without a moment's hesitation, Prabhupada said, Krishna is not the debauchee, you are the debauchee. Because these are Krishna's own expansions of his internal potency, and you're trying to be the enjoyer of one of them. The man didn't know what to say. This is transcendental reality, and most persons are not on the platform of transcendental reality. They're on the platform of my wife, my husband, my enjoyment. But it's actually all Krishna's, meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And Krishna expands his own potencies for his enjoyment. That's the whole, this verse is describing in Sri Brahma Samhita. It's the whole spiritual world is made of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa. Everything. Not just Radha and the expansions of Radha as the gopis, but the whole spiritual world. That's Krishna's abode, and he's enjoying with his own potency. That's not what we do. We try to accumulate something. We're born with nothing. And we leave with nothing. And in between, we're busy trying to make something. Ours. And be the enjoyer of it. It's thieving. And it's illusion. And we're very involved in both. Stealing and illusion. But that's not the same with Krishna. We do those things and it's wrong. It's immoral. When Krishna does those things, it's his janma karma chame divyam. That's his divine divyam lila. And he can make it look like we do. He can make it look human. But it's not human. It's transcendental divyam. And we may imitate Krishna, that it's sinful. So we shouldn't imitate Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, and he played the part, or his lila was, that of a sannyasi, at least the latter part of his life. For 24 years he lived as a sannyasi. And in that role as a sannyasi, he was very strict. Very strict. There was one younger sannyasi who was sent by another devotee to go get some rice from the sister of Sika Mihiti. So he went, and the place where Sika Mihiti and his sister lived was a long distance away from Puri. So he went a long distance away because he knew that she was very expert at getting best quality things for Lord Chaitanya. So he asked for some rice, and she gave some rice. So Lord Chaitanya is taking the prasad after it's been cooked and offered to Krishna, and he says, "Such fine rice. Where did you manage to get this fine rice?" One of the devotees, he went to get that fine rice, Chota Haridas. And from where did he get it? He got it from Sikhi Mihiti's sister. So Lord Chaitanya continued eating, didn't say anything else, and at the end of his meal he said, "Tell Chota Haridas I never want to see his face again. Because anyone who is in the renounced order and dallies with women, they're unfit to be even in their vicinity at all." He didn't do anything. He didn't do any bad thing. He just asked Sikhi Mihiti's sister for some rice. But Lord Chaitanya was strict. And the devotees came and pleaded with him. He didn't do anything. You know, punish him if you like, but you know, he can't maintain his life if there's no association. Anyway, long narration. Lord Chaitanya didn't yield. Very strict about a sannyasi not associating intimately with women. But at the same token, Lord Chaitanya extolled the virtue of Radha and Krishna and their love affairs, and Radha and Krishna and the gopis. He who was so strict on this platform honored that platform. Very significant. This is Lord Chaitanya, whose love for Krishna was exactly like that love that Radha has for Krishna. He fulfilled his own desire. This is very confidential, and who can understand it? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't understand it. He didn't understand what to speak of the confidential dealings of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't understand his divinity. But by the mercy, and same for us in principle, by receiving the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, or the mercy of one who has received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then one can understand who is Lord Chaitanya. I'll end with just one verse. There were two verses written by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Actually, there was 100 verses. Later he compiled 100 verses in glorification of Lord Chaitanya. But two verses in particular stand out, and one of those two particularly stands out. It lasted for generations, decades, and you know, up until now, 500 years later, it's still appreciated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's realization and his glorification of who is Lord Chaitanya. First, he describes the gift of Lord Chaitanya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshartam ekam purushak parana Sri Krishna Chaitanya sharira dhari kripam bhutir yastam aham prapadye. So Lord Chaitanya descended to teach vairagya vidya. Not just everyone should become a sannyasi. Vairagya means detachment from the mood of being a sense enjoyer. Grahastha should also cultivate that same mood. Vairagya, vidya, ultimately knowledge of the supreme source of everything, Krishna. And by that, knowledge of everything else in a proper order. Nija bhakti yoga, through the means of devotional service, these were taught. Shikshartam ekam purushak parana. These were his shiksha, his teachings. And the basis of them is very ancient. It wasn't some new idea. Purushak parana, the oldest eternal wisdom, he gave it freely. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that was his name given at sannyas by Keshava Bharati. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sharira Dhari. He's come before us in this form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Kripam Budhir. He's an ocean of kripa, mercy. And therefore I surrender unto him. So on this Gaur Purnima day, we can honor Lord Chaitanya's magnanimous or munificent position, the giver of love for Krishna through the chanting of Krishna's holy name. We honor him in that way, as Rupa Goswami honored him in that way. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushe Namaha. These are all essential verses in glorification of who is Lord Chaitanya. And by appreciating the transcendental nature of Lord Chaitanya's appearance and the transcendental nature of his activities, will be carried to the spiritual world. There's no gift that can compare to that one. If you could give such a gift to people, go on a spree and just give it out. Happy birthday, here's a gift for you. No more birth in this material world and entrance into the spiritual world. How would you like that? Lord Chaitanya was freely giving. Simply, from our side, some receptivity, some eagerness to receive that gift is required. So we'll be honoring Lord Chaitanya more as the day progresses. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments or discussion? Okay. Yeah.
Recently I had a discussion with one Sri Vaishnava. And he was like obviously carrying that notion that like Krishna is actually avatar of Vishnu. And then one interesting thing that he pointed out is that like, they have the notion of one Vaikuntha planet. They do not have idea of many planets. And therefore like Goloka Vrindavan being the central planet of the whole Vaikuntha realm doesn't fit in for their idea. So I mentioned that that probably that detail is not important to understand as far as the Sri Vaishnava teachings are concerned. So is that the right way of approaching that?
Yes, but not exactly. It's not sufficient. Sri Vaishnavas have as their primary source of authority Vishnu Purana and Padma Purana, those two, amongst the Sattvic Puranas. That information is not there. Since that's their primary source of authority, that's sufficient for them. It doesn't say there isn't, it just doesn't say that there is. And so, that's sufficient for them. And our primary source of authority is Bhagavad Purana. For many reasons. And it's also among the Sattvic Puranas, but it's recognized by the Sattvic Puranas as the monarch, or the chief, or the Amala Purana. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it makes such a distinction. So, it's not part of their primary authority set of information, and so it's not a point that they emphasize. Or even consider. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.